life is dying. Even the man in the moon is crying.
Never had no one that I could count on. I've been let down so many times. I was tired of hurting.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Stormy Daniels testifying today in the hush money trial of Donald Trump, telling jurors about her alleged sexual encounter with Trump in 2006 in his hotel room, at times going into more detail and outside the scope of what the court outlined. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
We've threatened prosecutor Susan Hoffinger, asked her. She said, well, there was a power imbalance and he was sort of blocking the way, but she said she didn't feel threatened. Eventually, the two had sex, she said, but as she began to describe that encounter, the sexual encounter, that's when the defense objected and the judge sustained the objection.
Prosecutors allege Trump falsified documents to reimburse his former fixer, Michael Cohen, in hush money payments to Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. Israeli forces entering Rafah in what Israel calls a precise operation. It comes as talks on a ceasefire and hostage release deal are set to resume, and campus protests in the U.S. continue over the war in Gaza. This is ABC News. New York's attorney general is suing an anti-abortion group and 11 crisis pregnancy centers.
New York State says the anti-abortion group Heartbeat International and 11 self-professed pro-life pregnancy centers are committing fraud. They're using false and misleading statements to advertise an unproven treatment that they claim can reverse medication abortions. Attorney General Letitia James says abortions cannot be reversed, and what these crisis pregnancy defendants are spreading is dangerous misinformation. Brian Clark, ABC News, New York.
The anti-abortion groups have not commented. Planters is voluntarily recalling two types of nuts for possible listeria contamination. The affected products include 4-ounce packages of honey roasted peanuts and 8.75-ounce cans of deluxe light salted mixed nuts. The products were produced at one facility and sold at Publix and Dollar Tree stores in 5 states. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. Non-protesting UW-Madison students meet with campus officials.
The Daily Cardinal first reported that students on the Madison campus met with Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin and other members of the administration on Monday. In the meeting, students shared personal experiences of intimidation, harassment, and anti-Semitism they experienced from encampment protesters and outside agitators. While pro-Palestinian protesters have issued a set of demands, the non-protesting group has a set of requests, including defining and condemning anti-Semitism and allowing representatives of Jewish and Israeli students and unaligned groups in any negotiations. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The protesters in those encampments say they will remain until demands are met. One of those demands is that the UW divest itself of Israeli-based investments. WISN-TV's Upfront Sunday, UW System President Jay Rothman said that was a non-starter.
The issues that are being protested are ones of foreign policy, not of university investment. So I just view that as a red herring.
Fight over Wisconsin's wolf management strategies continues as a lawsuit against the Department of Natural Resources is dismissed.
A Dane County judge on Monday threw out a challenge by the Great Lakes Wildlife Alliance that the Natural Resources Board failed to follow open meetings laws while penning the management plan. The group claimed board members improperly met with other advocacy groups outside of board meetings, even if no quorum was ever held together at once. Judge Stephen Elke rejected that claim, saying that ruling in favor of the alliance would invalidate most proceedings of any government committee if members couldn't get information on their own. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny today and mild, with high temperatures tapping 70 degrees. A few more showers and thunderstorms may spark up later on this afternoon. And some of those have the potential to be strong to severe. Otherwise, all of the rain chances kick on out of here overnight. We become partly cloudy and dry tomorrow morning. Call Tax Solutions now for help, 800-281-8193. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Rory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah,
hey,
as soon as I was looking it over before I read it, and I'm like, well, this isn't very upbeat. That's not very AgriTalk-like.
Well, here's the way it works on the farm, right?
Okay.
You always hear slow down to speed up, right?
Yeah.
Slow is smooth, smooth is smooth fast, okay?
Right.
Less optimism maybe is actually more optimism.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that translation works. There's a lot of distance between those dots that you're trying to connect, dude.
You know, I appreciate you just giving it to me straight here. It's early for me today to be coming up with this stuff. You know?
So Dr. Mintert at Purdue University, the latest survey for the Ag Economy Barometer, as I said, farmer attitudes going into late spring and summer have deteriorated from earlier this year, and they weren't great earlier this year.
Yeah.
So we'll find out from Jim what's going on there. Also, I this morning have already been informed and entertained.
Is that right? Well, now, how did you manage that? From the convenience of your own home?
From the convenience of my own home, all I had to do was click a link to go to YouTube and check out Grow Getters and the Painterland Sisters story.
That's right. That's right.
Dude, fantastic. It has dropped. It has launched. The Grow Getters podcast is up and available and very much worth watching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you would just as soon not have to look at me, which is fine, you know, you can also get just the audio versions wherever you get podcasts. So
I think it'll work. I think it'll work. Yeah. Although the string cheese visual and even the yogurt visual, I think are important in the conversation.
We're getting to the meat of these issues on the farm, Chip. That's what we're doing. We're getting to the cheese of the issues on the farm.
Yeah. Yeah. Great story.
A wonderful story.
A great story from the Painterland sisters, how they're continuing their grandfather's dreams and building on the organic dairy that that their grandfather helped to establish. I think it's fantastic. It's a great
I'm hoping
story.
Non-farm folks great will be story. Able to check it out, too, if they'll take
As
a moment and
should.
Check it out. Just what a great way to kick off the podcast. Grow getters.
If you want to learn where your food is coming from, that is a great spot to check it out. All right, let's get to the news, buddy. What do you got?
Sure thing. Well, let's start with the weather. Man, it got ugly last night. I was hooked on coverage out of Oklahoma City. I was watching their local weather. This morning, the NWS says there's an enhanced risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the Ohio Valley today and over parts of the Southern Plains, the middle and lower Mississippi Valley and Ohio-Tennessee Valleys on Wednesday. A slight risk of excessive rainfall over parts of the Ohio Valley today and over parts of the middle and lower Mississippi Valley, Ohio-Tennessee Valleys on Wednesday. Heavy snow over the higher elevations of the Northern Rockies. The short version is if there's valley attached with your region, it could be wet and stormy.
Right. And there's more rain in the forecast for the upper Midwest right through at least the next week.
Yep. Crop progress report highlights are out here. This as of May 5, winter wheat 50%, good to excellent, up a point. Corn 36% planted, fell behind the average, 39% on average, but we're 12% emerged. Soybeans 25% planted ahead of the average. Spring wheat 47% planted, well above the average pace. 12% emerged on your spring wheat and cotton. 24% planted compares to 20% on average.
Yeah, they're definitely making progress, but I think the delay in corn is probably going to limit selling in that market through the end of the week.
Fair enough. Yep. Well, the Fed's latest loan officers survey shows renewed weakening in demand for industrial loans and a decline in household demand for credit for the first quarter of the year. Another New York Fed survey released on Monday showed Americans are bracing for another round of higher housing costs. Citadel founder Ken Griffin said the Federal Reserve will likely cut rates in December if it elects to hold off in September. According to a study by the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, U.S. households now, Chip, have depleted the extra savings they may have accumulated during the pandemic. President Joe Biden is proposing ensuring the solvency of Social Security and Medicare by increasing financial contributions from wealthier Americans and reducing prescription drug costs without cutting benefits or privatizing the programs. Social Security's trust fund faces depletion by 2023. Demographic challenge here. Birth rates are falling, exacerbates the issue as fewer workers available to support an increasing number of retirees. In April 2024, farmer sentiment experienced a significant downturn. We'll get more from Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue. Torrential rains and flooding have killed livestock and blocked roads and forced meat packers to partially or fully halt operations at 10 pork or poultry plants in Brazil. These plants have reportedly been struggling anyway with the shortage of animals for slaughtering and lack of employees at the plants. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Milk, joins us. Good morning, Karen.
Hello, Chip.
So talk to me about what is happening at Milltrim Farms with the workforce there.
Yeah. Well, so I interviewed Jessica Prahl-Trimmer. And so they milk about 3,000 cows, but half of their farm employees, Chip, are female. Hmm. And she said something that really resonated with me. She says, you know, Karen, a lot of us grew up working alongside our fathers, but right behind them have always been the mothers, who generally, of course, were the family caretakers, but they also helped with other important areas like feeding calves and farm bookwork. And this holds true for my family farm. And while it holds true for a lot of dairies right now, we're seeing so many women, Chip, step up in bigger roles on the dairy. Many of them are running dairy operations or serving as a manager or herdswoman. And, you know, women are nurturing, I would say, but they also have such an eye to detail that makes a big difference. And personally, for our farm, Chip, we never had female employees until COVID-19 hit. And now we have three, and they're so fantastic. And I just think times have changed. I see my own daughter, Cassie, she's 17, who literally, Chip, yesterday, she dissed the fields for 12 hours. She plants, she drives wagons, so much. And so when I grew up, and I'm going to age myself here a little bit, in dairy science, 80% were males. And now times have changed. Now that statistic is 80% women.
Wow. That's amazing to me. Well, and then Davis, it is Girl Getters podcast. It's got a great example of women stepping up and being leaders in the dairy out in Pennsylvania. So it's happening everywhere. My daughter has been involved in the ag industry as well. And I'm telling you, the influence is great in the ag industry. There's no question. Good stuff,
Absolutely.
Karen.
Thanks,
Jeff. All right. You bet. Karen Bohnert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Okay, like I said, the ag community has turned less optimistic than what it was a month ago. We'll get the details from Dr. Jim Minter, director of Purdue Center for Commercial Ag, next here on AgriTalk.
John Carter knows the value of his efforts to farm sustainably on his Indiana dairy.
Sustainability is really important to the consumer. As a farmer, it's important for us to produce a product that meets those standards.
That's why the Checkoff's work to do research and share results is so important.
If we weren't sustainable as a farm, we wouldn't be here. So the Checkoff is a bridge to tell the farmer's story on how they're practicing sustainability.
Learn more at usdairy.com.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Get ready to take your corn yields to the max with MX Series Corn by Stein. These one-of-a-kind hybrids are derived from the latest, most superior corn genetics from one of the industry's largest corn breeding programs. MX Series Corn by Stein features short-stature plants with medium to high ear placement, enabling excellent performance in high population environments, ease of harvest, and strong standability. Learn more about our time-tested short-stature corn products at steinseed.com.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Davis, hey, the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, number one, it's consistent. Number two, it asks questions that matter, all right? They really do give us insight into what is happening in the farm community. So when we get as big of a shift in the barometer as we got from March to April, it's time to dig in and figure out exactly what's going on.
Well, because if you remember last month's results in this conversation, the current conditions, all right. Everybody was pretty sour on those.
Right.
But the future expectations, as I recall, had a pretty decent bump last month. And now this month, I don't know.
Yeah. It's still above 100 on the index, but it is down considerably, from March. Let's get the details from Jim Minter, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag. He joins us right now. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm very good and pleased to be with you again, Chip.
Yeah, glad that you're here. Okay. The Ag Economy Barometer fell 15 points to a reading of 99. It's been a while since the barometer has been below par there, Jim. What's going on?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the decline, as you pointed out, puts us back to the level where we're about equal in sentiment to where we were when the barometer started. That was the fourth quarter of 2015 and the first quarter of 2016. And just for your listeners, kind of a reminder, the way the barometer is constructed, that's the average. So sentiment during that time frame averages out to 100. So anytime you're at below 100, you're a little weaker in sentiment than you were in that time frame. And, of course, numbers above 100 mean you're more positive than you were during that time frame. Mm-hmm. So we're back to where we were in 15, 16. And, again, just a little reminder, thinking about it, right, 2007 to 2013, very positive era, especially for crop producers. 2014 was kind of a transition year, and by the time we got to 15 and 16, we were in a downturn. So that's right. The level of sentiment that we're looking at. We've been here before. It's not the first time since then that we've been this low, but we're only 3 points higher than we were in the April of 2020, and of course, that was the height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of puts it in perspective in terms of how negative people really were in that early April timeframe when we were doing the survey.
Jim, we compare so many things and measure so many things by that pandemic low, whether we're talking about consumer attitudes or whatever it is, and now we're talking about farm attitudes being down at that pandemic low. When it was easy to be unoptimistic about the future, it's a little concerning to see the readings as low as they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it indicates some reality, though, from the perspective of producers, right? They're looking at high break-evens, crop prices, especially when you look at what took place from about Thanksgiving or maybe just before Thanksgiving up through the time when we were doing this survey in early April. Nothing but bad news, right? I mean, it was weak, and weaker. And so producers are looking at the value of their inventories from 2023 sitting in the bin, declining in value. That means income here in 24 is going to be weaker than they thought it was going to be back in, you know, late November, for example, early December. Yeah. And correspondingly, expectations for weak prices coming out of 2024 crop production. So
right.
I think it really reflects the fact that people kind of said, hey, you know, maybe we're not going to see enough of a rally here to bail us out with respect to these high break evens. And that's been the concern people have been talking about for some time. When we ask them what their biggest concerns are, they really respond in a way that says they're worried about a cost price squeeze. And I think this month's survey kind of says they woke up and said, yeah, we really are in a cost price squeeze.
Right. Which is why current conditions, the index is all the way down at 83. That's an 18-point drop from March. The futures expectations looks better at 106, but it's still down 14 points. That current conditions, and, you know, if you're going to be bottoming out on current conditions, you better have a brighter outlook going forward, right?
Yeah, and we've had people a little more optimistic about the future than the current situation for several months in a row now. Really, go back really to almost most of the last year. Future expectations have been a little more positive than the current conditions. This month, that gap widened, as you pointed out. So people are kind of hanging on to the future, saying this isn't the way it's always going to be, but 2024 is going to be a tough year.
Right. Okay. I usually reserve we ask this question this month for the end of the conversation, and we always run out of time, Jim. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to move it up. And I want to ask you about the farmland and farmland leasing for solar energy production. There's been an increase in the conversations that have happened about making this happen out in the country, hasn't there?
Yeah, there really has. You know, we've been asking questions about this going back to June of 2021. The first few times we asked this question, between about 6% and maybe 11% of the people in the survey said that they were at least having some kind of a conversation with a company about solar leasing. That started to tick up here these last couple of surveys. In February, it was at 10%. March, it was at 12%. Here in April, it was 19%. And we actually changed the question here in 2024 and asked people to only respond about discussions that took place in the last 6 months. So that 19% is people saying in the last 6 months, roughly one out of five people in the survey said they've at least talked to a company about the possibility of solar leasing. So I think that's significant. The 6 month aspect really kind of jumps out at you a little bit. And then we follow up, you know, for the folks that say they've had a conversation, we say, well, what kind of rates are they talking about? And that there's really been a shift in the rates. You go back to the first time we did the survey, roughly a third, 32% of the people said they were offered less than $500 an acre for the production period of the contract. And only 27% said they were offered $1,000 or more. In this month's survey, 16% said they were offered less than $500. 58% said they were offered $1,000 or more. In these last 2 months, we actually altered the question a little bit to get more information about that 1,000 or more category. Mm-hmm. 30% said they were offered between 1,000 and 1,250. 28% said they were offered 1,250 or more per acre.
Wow.
So it's clear there's more interest. There is more, the rates being paid or being offered are increasing substantially. Now, there is one caveat in the background here, and that is a lot of this is in the future, right? So the way these leases typically work is it's an option to potentially turn this into a solar energy production facility. That option usually lasts 5 years, and that's paid at a pretty nominal rate, usually between $10 and maybe $20 or $25 an acre. And then there's a construction period, and then there's an actual production period for solar energy. So a lot of these rates being reported are down the road. It doesn't mean these have actually taken place and farmers have actually received these yet. But if these facilities are built, these are the kind of rates being offered out there.
Yeah. Well, $1,000 or more has got to catch their attention, the landowner's attention on this, Jim. There's no way around it. I mean, when we hear crazy numbers on cash rent here in the middle of the Corn Belt, we're talking about, you know, five and a quarter. And you start scratching your head. But these guys talking about $1,000 or more, landowners have got to pay attention to that.
Yeah, and I think I've had some questions from some folks about, you know, is this a supply issue in the sense that more farmers are interested in potentially leasing farmland for solar energy production? Or is it a demand issue, meaning more companies are coming in and saying, we would like to lease farmland for solar energy production? And I think the fact that the rates are going up like this really indicates it's more of a demand issue with respect to there's more companies out there talking to farmers. There's more possible deals being struck out there. And down the road, we might see, you know, ultimately see more of these actually built. But I really think that's being driven more a little bit more by the demand side as evidenced by what's taking place on the rates.
Okay. All right, not a lot of time, 30, 40 seconds. What's it doing to the overall attitude about farmland prices?
So that's interesting. So farmland expectations did dip this month. On our short-term index dropped 12 points. Last month was a little bit of an anomaly, I think. We kind of bumped up, and I think based on interest rate expectations. This month we dropped back down to 112. So we're, you know, down 12 points on a one-month basis. We're down, I think, 11 points, I guess, on a one-year basis. But when we ask people that think farmland's going up, we added a new category, and we added energy production. 8% of the people that think it's going up said it's attributable in part to energy production on farmland.
Amazing, amazing. So it's having that is an impact. There's no question about it. Really interesting survey this month. Always interesting, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. Look forward to talking to you next month.
Absolutely. Jim Minter, Director, Purdue Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options,
potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, every now and then I look at what's going on in the grain markets and I think to myself, they don't know what they want to do. I kind of get...
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk down 6 to 1939, July down 16 to 1927, August down 12 to 1922, September down 16 at 1923. Meanwhile, in the livestock sector, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher as the trade sees enough fundamental support to justify the higher trade. The biggest factors affecting the market are the midday box beef prices higher and the feeder cattle complex also leading the charge higher. Hog markets also moving up mostly higher due to higher carcass prices. June live cattle up $1.15 to $178.12. May feeder cattle up $1.42 to $242.82. May hogs up 35 cents to $92.52. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets moving up mostly lower. Little fresh news to help the markets move higher as the markets have been overbought. Soybeans are mostly mixed again. Concerns about the flooding in South America, which is delaying the soybean harvest there, is helping to provide some support to the markets. Meanwhile, though, some profit-taking and consolidation pressuring other prices. Wheat markets, they're also moving mostly mixed as the plains weather should begin to improve for the wheat crop. New crop corn down 1 3/4 to 486 3/4. New crop beans now up 5 1/2 to 1225 1/4. Chicago wheat may up 1/2 to 632 3/4.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
On AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. The spotlight moved back onto the Farm Bill last week with the framework of the House and the Senate bills released. And, you know, there are some differences between the bills, I guess we could say mildly. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas is a member of the Senate Ag Committee, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Senator.
Chip, it's great to be with you. The drought has broken in most of Kansas, so it's a good time for my farmers back home. This wheat crop has been saved. Very dry April, but May showers came.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good news. Okay, Senator, the framework of the Senate Farm Bill was released last week. You're a member of the Senate Ag Committee. What did you see in the Senate bill that you like?
Well, there's certainly, if you like nutrition programs, there's plenty to like in it as well. I think I'm more concerned that, look, this bill from the Senate side reflects Democrat priorities. This farm bill has to last us 5 years. So I'm just begging your listeners to give us some patience here. We need to put farm back in the farm bill. Again, this Democrat bill reflects nutrition programs, but doesn't take care of the farmer. They want you to choose between crop insurance or the Title I funding, the ARC or the PLC. So I'm going to keep fighting for more funding for crop insurance and raising the ARC and PLC, the reference prices for those. I think that's real important. And just okay. To sum it up, when I say it's a Democrat priorities, look, the nutrition programs in the last farm bill, we budgeted $60 billion a year, 60. We're spending $180 billion a year now. So those food programs have tripled. And generally, I'm in favor of the food programs. I think we need to tighten them up some and make sure we're getting and prioritizing who needs that food. But we're asking for just $400 million or more for crop insurance and to raise the reference prices. I don't have to tell you or your listeners that the situation for farmers right now, record increases in input costs, record drop in farm income last year, and then again, this drought across the country, Mother Nature cost farmers $20 billion of crops last year that were not covered by crop insurance. Only half of those covered by crop insurance. So, look, we need to put farm back in the farm bill. We need to reflect agriculture priorities. Nutrition programs consuming about 85% of this farm bill now.
Yeah, 85% of it, and a larger chunk than ever is consumed by conservation spending as well, isn't it?
Right. So that's the good news. The bad news, our farmers won't be able to use it. The way they've done these conservation programs in the Democrat-led Senate bill is they're very prescriptive. That if you don't follow all their rules, you're not going to have access to some of these conservation programs. I think a great example is cover crops. Look, we've been doing cover crops where I live in Kansas for decades. But you get any further west of me in Kansas, and we simply don't have the moisture to do cover crops, and that's going to make you ineligible for old programs like EQIP. So they're overly prescriptive. There's an over-focus on carbon production. So for my dairymen and cattlemen and women, if you don't decrease your carbon footprint, they're not going to let you be eligible for conservation programs. Look, water is the most scarce commodity out there.
Yeah.
We need to do everything. And for the water conservation programs, and reminding my friends across the aisle that farmers and ranchers were the original conservationists.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've heard the comment from several in your area and in Nebraska and in Colorado, down into Oklahoma, Texas, that water barely gets a mention in the farm bill as far as conservation efforts and usage efforts and that some more attention needs to be paid there. But on the spending, on the spending side of things, Senator, when everything is added together, the analysis that I've seen suggests that the Senate bill spends about $5 billion more than what it has been allocated for the bill. Do you know where that $5 billion is coming from?
I guess we'll just print it here in the basement at D.C. like we do everything else. You know, I think that's the bigger problem, is in a country that's $34 trillion into debt, in a country that's going to spend $1 trillion on interest this year, $1 trillion. And last that, we're going to take in $5 trillion and spend $7 trillion. We're going to send $60 billion to Ukraine on top of the $113 we've already sent. But we can't spend $400 million more for crop insurance. So, no, I don't know where it's going to come from. And that's why we're going to struggle with this. I think that Washington, D.C. needs to back up and reprioritize it and recognize that food security is national security. One of the reasons that we have the cheapest groceries in the world, you know, a fraction of most developed countries, is we've always had good crop insurance programs and good Title I programs. Otherwise, we're going to have farmers go out of business. And we need to reevaluate our priorities.
Okay. All right. Well, reevaluating priorities, House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson is supposed to meet with Stabenow, and I believe Senator Bozeman, the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee, is going to be in on the meetings as well. What is it that you want to at the top of the list of things that they're going to be talking about in this Farm Bill meeting?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but a crop insurance is the backbone of every Farm Bill. And so I think that needs to be at the top of it, and the reference prices. And then I would go after the conservation programs as well. And then in the nutrition side of things, I think they need to talk about some work requirements. We have, what, 6 or 7 healthy American men working age that are not working right now, 7 million. And let's give them a hand up. Let's help them get the education we need. But we don't need people on, you know, on these nutrition programs that could be contributing to society. So I think that those would be the top things to talk about. Okay. Crop insurance. Maybe we should talk a little bit about input costs, but maybe that's outside the Farm Bill for some, for the most part.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Is the Democratic leadership, Stabenow in the Senate, Jeffries in the House, are they actively lobbying against the framework that House Chair Thompson released?
Not to my knowledge. There's been so little oxygen up here, you know, that the year of the Farm Bill has just not been a priority. I was a little bit shocked to see that they finally released their draft on the Senate side. Senator Bozeman and Republicans had minimal input in it. So I don't feel them actively lobbying. It's never this Farm Bill has never been a priority for my friends across the aisle or the White House for that matter. So I've not seen any active lobbying.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Speaking of timing on this, and it does feel like the Senate has been quote unquote tardy with the release of this, and Chairman Thompson got his out first. Will Senate Ranking Member Bozeman, will he release what the GOP would like to see in the Senate bill soon?
You know, I'm hesitant to say exactly what his plan is going to be. Senator Bozeman tends to keep his cards pretty close to his chest.
Yes, he does.
I think that he's going to. I'll be interested to see how this meeting goes with GT and with Chairwoman Stabenow, and see. I think we need to wait and see how that goes. Okay. And I think we've been pretty verbal what our priorities are. I mean, I think that Senator Hoeven released recently, a bill that Senator Bozeman and I both supported for the crop insurance to beef it up a little bit, if you will, the extra $400 million. I think that adequately reflects where the priorities are. So we'll see how that meeting goes and then see what the chairman or what I hope will soon be the chairman Bozeman wants to do.
Yeah, the what Hoeven proposed has really gotten a lot of attention and support, I think, from the countryside. So I think, I believe the GT tried to work some of that into the House version of the bill as well. What you mentioned your livestock producers earlier. What about Prop 12? Is there anything in the Senate bill that would address California's Prop 12 and other initiatives like it, like Massachusetts Q3 and so on?
Chip, I'm not aware that it's in there, and don't hold me to that. I'm going to double check to see, but I do not think it's in there. You know, it's kind of one of those things where we saw this bill from Senator Stabenow. It's dead on arrival on the House side. I don't remember seeing that in there.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Will you? I don't believe that it is, but we – and I think it's something that should be in there because that – there. I don't know. It feels like states' rights are being infringed upon with Prop 12, doesn't it?
Oh, it's more than that, Chip. Listen, we don't need California to tell Iowans how to grow pigs, and we don't need California to tell Kansans, Nebraskans, Texans how to grow cattle. Yeah. And that's what it would be. It's micromanaging, and it's just a headache for the small producer. Could you imagine having a pen of cattle? Okay, these are going to California, and then we got a pasture over here, and those cattle are going to Florida, and this cattle here are going to New York. It's impossible. This type of overregulation helps the big producers. They're able to, you know, to flip and manage that type of thing. But my small producers in Kansas, and I say small, you know, the average farm is bigger than my grandfather's farm was. But we just can't keep up with it. And, you know, we must be over the target because certainly we got some people really coming after us, and I don't think they have a good perspective that this overregulation just kills the small producers as well.
Right. Senator, we've only got about 30 seconds left. What's happening in the Senate that we need to know about?
Oh, goodness. Well, today, this week will be focused on the FAA reauthorization bill. And in rural America, access to these small rural airports are important. So we're going to try to keep those airports up and running as well. And wherever you're traveling, making sure that you're safe and sound. There'll be some bills we'll throw on, some special amendments as well. But that's mainly what's going on now. We'll try to settle in and get a farm bill. How does that sound?
Outstanding. Senator, again, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you so much.
Chip, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much to everybody.
Absolutely. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas. We will be back with more AgriTalk here in a moment.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started Wesley Financial Group to do one thing, help people get out of their timeshare nightmare. When you buy a timeshare, the timeshare company can raise your annual maintenance fees at will. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Want out of your timeshare? Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-785-1155. That's 800-785-1155. 800-785-1155.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Mark Foster is the brand leader for Zalo at AmVac. Mark, why Zalo? What weed control problem is Zalo designed to address?
Zalo performs both broadleaf and grass weed control in broad spectrum means to help growers in glufosinate tolerant canola, cotton, and soybeans options for weed control necessary on their farms. Zalo is a 2-mode of action product on grasses and a 1-mode of action on broadleaves. This allows growers confidence to spray both their grasses and broadleaves with great efficacy, but in addition, for stewardship reasons and resistance management, they get a 2 mode of action to control their grasses.
All right. So you've done some testing of the product. What have the test results shown you?
We're extremely satisfied with the testing results of Zalo. Over our trial data, we're showing a 2 percentage point increase on broadleaf control, but more importantly, a 9% improvement over grass control when utilized in comparisons to Liberty 280 SL on its own.
Excellent. So give us a little bit of detail. Which fields are prime candidates for Zalo and how do you use it?
So Zalo can be used up to 2 times in crop, where growers can really see what weeds they have coming and target their timing of weed control to the weed size that they're seeing within their fields. Zalo should be applied at 22 to 29 fluid ounces for canola, while it can be applied from 32 to 43 fluid ounces in cotton and soybeans.
Fantastic. Okay, so where can listeners go to get more information on Zalo?
Growers can go to amvac.com to find more information. Zalo is broadly available at local ag chem retails across the U.S.
That's excellent, Mark. Thank you so much. That is Mark Foster. He is the brand leader for Zalo at AmVac.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food
fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Production of animals is filled with variation and inconsistency. At United Animal Health, we innovate animal science to impact the health of animals using the least amount of resources. Our science aims to produce greater consistency with less variation, allowing you to maximize your genetic investment. At United Animal Health, we believe you're only as good as your animals. We offer scientifically better products that are as reliable as we are. United Animal Health. Good people you can trust.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Tuesday morning. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. I am your pal, Davis Michelson. I got Chip Glory here with me.
Yo.
Don't worry. He's here.
Yep. So the storms that rolled through your neck of the woods and my area are right over top of Big Apple Joe over in South Bend, Indiana right now.
Attaboy, Joe.
Thank you for taking those off our hands.
It wasn't real bad. I mentioned at the top of the show, I was just fiddling around on YouTube after work last night.
There's a lot of booming going on at about 3 o'clock in the morning between 3 and 4.
Yeah, we got it here in KC, 11 o'clock maybe.
Yeah.
Dude, the windows were rattling. It really was going to be quite the deal. Oklahoma. Let's not forget Oklahoma. And here's the thing. I was watching it. It was the coolest coverage I've ever seen. And maybe other people do this. I don't know. I just don't watch TV much. But the weather guy was in the studio, and he had all the maps and the, ooh, now this looks like a little cell here. Well, they had some dude parked down there with a camera. They had like four or five guys running around. They had a chopper on the job. It was the most fascinating coverage because you could see him interpreting the weather map and then looking at it on the ground, what that looks like. You know, just another round of harsh storms rolled through.
Right.
Some communities, man, got hit. There were some hits.
Yeah. Some of them, some of those communities, the second time they've been hit this year already.
Yep. So. That's absolutely right. Quite the deal. But, we didn't get a ton of rain here. It rained hard for a really short time. And that was about it here in KC.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. A few years ago, I'm trying to remember if we were at the Whiskey Road office or still clear out in Industrial Park. I got a phone call from an old timer who had been a reading landowner, and he had gotten an offer from some solar company that was throwing around $1,000 per acre lease for some extended period of time. He called me up because he thought, well, this can't be right. There's no way this is $1,000 an acre for X amount of years. Really? This has got to be a scam. It's a thing. Dude, it's a thing.
Absolutely.
Mintert's results showed it. I forget what the number. It was over 50% that were offered $1,000 or more, right?
Yeah, 58%, I believe the number was.
Of those who had been contacted.
Exactly. 28% of the farmers said they were offered $1,250 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't forget, it's important, the time constraint that they put on the question that almost 20% of respondents have had a conversation with an energy company about leasing their ground to a solar farm, and they've had that conversation in the last 6 months. It's a lot. It is happening, and it's happening in a big way. Some of these revenues are a bit deferred, but nonetheless, they are offering some opportunities that some landowners are going to have a really, really difficult time saying no to.
Yeah. Did you know there are opportunities for sheep producers in that too? I reported in the news maybe it's 3 weeks ago now
that sheep producers can graze it. You don't be sending your cattle, your horses, whatever you got out there, your llamas.
That can really rub on them.
Yeah. Right. But they're sending sheep out there, and that answers the question for me. You know, who maintains it? Well, it looks like whoever owns the land is in charge of maintaining it, apparently. And there, some of them have found sheep to be a really good solution to keep that moat.
Makes interesting. Sense.
It really does.
Yeah.
And then with the good senator, good to chat with him again. It's been a while. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas. I'm just gonna open it wide. What's your takeaway from that conversation?
He said that the Senate chairwoman's framework was basically dead on arrival.
Yeah.
And that I understand how judgment is passed as quickly as it is passed. Mm-hmm. And that you have to move on, but the lack of effort, you know, the thing is, I have not heard that about Chairman Thompson's bill over in the House. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that from Democrats that the bill is dead on arrival, and I don't think they can say that because yes. Chairman Thompson does address some of the crop insurance issues that Senator Marshall was talking about. Mm-hmm. There are other things on Title I, the Farm Safety Net, PLC and ARC, reference prices in particular, that are addressed in the House version of the bill. But the House version of the bill also does address some of the nutrition and conservation issues that it sounds like, and from what I've been able to tell from the analysis that's been presented and everything, there's a lot of attention on the nutrition side, a lot of attention on the conservation side, not a lot of attention paid to Title I crop insurance and PLC ARC and the reference prices on the Senate bill. To me, that's not something that's overlooked, not in the farm bill. Mm-hmm. If it's left out, it was intended to be left out. And that is concerning. And it makes me understand why it's being called dead on arrival. Because unless there is some effort on Title I, crop insurance, reference prices, unless there's some effort there, it's going to be really difficult to get it through and a final vote in one unified piece of legislation. That's going to be really difficult to do, man. Really difficult.
If we can get a farm bill, I don't know when this is going to take place. It might be 2030, dude. But let's agree, we're going to party. We're going to celebrate when they finally get that sucker popped out. What do you say?
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. All right, thank you for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Darren Fessler, Lakefront Futures, will be our guest this afternoon, 206 Central, here on AgriTalk.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.
At Lowe's, save big every day when you buy in bulk. Save 10% when you buy 68 or more OSB sheathing. Plus, get an extra